The following episode is certified grim for scenes of death, suffering, and upsetting imagery, and may not be suitable for all listeners.
Hello there, and welcome to Grim Reading, where each episode we read and review a Brothers Grimm tale. My name is Matthew Hughes, and with me on this journey is my co-host, Mr. Adam Field. This week on Grim Reading...
Children's Legends, Part 1.
So make yourself comfortable and prepare for a...
Grim Reading!
Hello and welcome to Grim Reading, where we read and review the tales of the Brothers Grimm. We are currently partway through our Volume 1 tournament, aka Grimbledon. We are now waiting for all the votes to come in from the group episodes before we can continue into the semi-finals. So, in the meantime, we're going to fill the gap with some children's legends.
It's the best thing to use to fill the gap. Any gap you need filling, fill it with children's legends.
They do come in handy. So there are 10 of these weird extra stories in the Grimm's fairy tales that are categorised separately from the main fairy tales, called children's legends. So the original plan was to read one at the end of each episode in the tournament.
Yeah.
To sort of beef up those episodes. But we quickly realised that the group stage episodes were very long already. So we parked the children's legends temporarily. Yeah. But now they're revving back up into life, Adam.
The children's legends are revving back up?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But what are they?
It's a good question, Matt. What are they? I'm going to direct it back at you.
That's a good question as well. So these are 10 extra stories appended to the end of Kinder und Hausmarken, called children's legends. In German, Kinderlegende or Legende. Mm-hmm. They first appeared in the 1819 edition at the end of Volume 2. And were a staple of the collection from then on. Other than that, they are a total mystery.
Mm.
I literally can find nothing about them anywhere.
So they are not part of Volume 1 at all. They are appended to the end of Volume 2 of Kinder und Hausmarken. Okay.
Yeah, so but if you get a complete edition of the Grimm's Fairy Tales, like this one I'm holding here,
yep.
It will have the children's legends at the end.
Right.
But we are, I mean, we're on our own here, Adam.
Oh dear.
I've read them all.
Yeah.
And my take so far is that they're a strange tapestry of stories about piety and suffering.
Oh, that sounds cheery.
As I said, there's 10 in total. We've already done 2, so there's 8 left to go. So in this episode, we're going to read 4 children's legends.
Whoa.
Adam, you're going to do what you do best and pick them by title alone.
Oh, I'm excited already.
Some are 2 pages long, some are a paragraph. So choose wisely.
Oh boy. Okay, pressure's on.
You got one other job, as well as story chooser. I'd like you to keep a tally of 2 things as we go through them.
Oh dear, I'm already stressed.
1, how many God-fearing people end up dead?
Okay, yeah.
And 2, how many people are starving to death? Okay, can you make a note?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all we know about children's legends.
Yeah.
From here on out, we're on our own. Okay? Just have to somehow make sense of these strange tales.
Oh, boy. We're just adrift. No one else can help us.
It's time for you to pick the first one.
Okay. I'm excited.
So, the 2 we've read so far are St. Joseph in the Forest and Our Lady's Little Glass.
Oh, yeah.
The remaining ones are called... The 12 Apostles. The Rose. Poverty and humility lead to heaven. God's food. The 3 green twigs. The aged mother. The heavenly wedding. And the hazel branch.
Oh.
So, Adam.
Great titles there.
Do you like to pick the first one we're going to read tonight?
Matt, I think I've already picked my first one.
Is it God's food?
That was so close, but I'm actually, I just, something sparked in my brain when you read out the 3 green twigs.
The 3 green twigs, okay. Yeah. Hey, well don't fight it.
No.
Don't fight
I'm
the spark.
I'm going to go with that spark.
Let's do it. Oh, here we go.
The 3 green twigs.
There was once upon a time a hermit who lived in a forest at the foot of a mountain and passed his time there in prayer and good works. And every evening he carried, to the glory of God, 2 pails of water up the mountain. Many a beast drank of it, and many a plant was refreshed by it. For on the heights above, a strong wind blew continually, which dried the air and the ground, and the wild birds which dread mankind wheel about there, and with their sharp eyes search for a drink. And because the hermit was so pious, an angel of God, visible to his eyes, went up with him, counted his steps, and when the work was completed, brought him his food, even as the prophet of old was by God's command fed by the raven. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I've done
a lot less prep than I normally would. So these kind of feel new to me. I'm already struggling to read it. Are you following there?
No.
Okay, so there's a hermit.
Yep. He carries 2 pails of water up there.
To the top of the mountain for the animals who live up there.
And to water the plants.
Yep.
And there's birds that are looking for water or something. I don't really... what's up with the birds?
And because he's so pious, an angel brought him food.
Okay.
To feed him because he's done such good work.
And follows his steps like a sort of... like checking his clothes and his rings on his Apple Watch. Yeah, yeah. You've got to get your steps in. It's important.
When the hermit, in his piety, had already reached a great age, it happened that he once saw from afar a poor sinner being taken to the gallows. He said carelessly to himself, "There, that one is getting his deserts." In the evening, when he was carrying the water up the mountain, the angel who usually accompanied him did not appear and also brought him no food.
Oh dear.
Then he was terrified and searched his heart and tried to think how he could have sinned, as God was so angry, but he did not discover it. Then he neither ate nor drank, threw himself down on the ground, and prayed day and night. And as he was one day thus bitterly weeping in the forest, he heard a little bird singing beautifully and delightfully. And then he was still more troubled, and said, "How joyously you sing! The Lord is not angry with you. Ah, if you could but tell me how I can have offended him, that I might do penance, and then my heart also would be glad again." Then the bird began to speak, and said, "You have done injustice. Oh, I've started too high there. You have done injustice in that you have condemned a poor sinner who was being led to the gallows, and for that the Lord is angry with you. He alone sits in judgment. However, if you will do penance and repent your sins, he will forgive you." Tweet, tweet.
Oh.
Then the angel stood beside him with a dry branch in his hand and said, "You shall carry this dry branch until 3 green twigs sprout out of it, but at night when you will sleep you shall lay it under your head. You shall beg your bread from door to door and not tarry more than one night in the same house. That is the penance which the Lord lays on you."
So he's homeless. Is that that's the punishment? And he's got to carry around a dry twig.
Yeah. And until 3 green twigs sprout out of this hazel branch.
Okay.
He has to go from door to door and beg for bread and not stay anywhere longer than one night.
Wow.
And he's got to sleep with it under his head.
Yeah.
He's got to use it as a pillow.
Okay. I'm with you.
Are you with me?
It all makes perfect sense now.
Then the hermit took the piece of wood and went back into the world, which he had not seen for so long, because he's just been up the mountain feeding the birds.
Yeah, yeah.
He ate and drank nothing but what was given him at the doors. Many petitions, however, were not listened to, and many doors remained shut to him, so that he often did not get a crumb of bread. Once when he had gone from door to door from morning till night, and no one had given him anything, and no one would shelter him for the night, he went forth into a forest, and at last found a cave which someone had made, and an old woman was sitting in it. Then he said, "Good woman, keep me with you in your house for this night." But she said, "No, I dare not, even if I wished. I have 3 sons who are wicked and wild. If they come home from their robbing expedition and find you, they would kill us both."
Oh no, they're out on a robbing expedition.
The hermit said, "Let me stay. They will do no injury either to you or to me." And the woman was compassionate and let herself be persuaded. Then the man lay down beneath the stairs and put the bit of wood under his head. When the old woman saw him do that, she asked the reason of it, on which he told her that he carried the bit of wood about him for penance and used it at night for a pillow, and that he had offended the Lord because when he had seen a poor sinner on the way to the gallows, he had said he was getting his deserts. Then the woman began to weep and cried, "If the Lord thus punishes one single word, how will it fare with my sons when they appear before him in judgment?" Okay, so he's at the robber's house.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 3 robber sons, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
She's worrying like, oh boy, just for saying that about a sinner, you're getting all this.
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
But she's also said, if you stay here, it's not going to go well when they get back, mate.
Right, yeah. It's all going to kick off.
At midnight, the robbers came home and blustered and stormed.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They made a fire, and when it had lighted up the cave and they saw a man lying under the stairs, they fell in a rage and cried to their mother, "Who is the man? Have we not forbidden anyone whomsoever to be taken in?" Then said the mother, "Let him alone. It is a poor sinner who is expiating his crime." The robbers asked, "What has he done?" "Old man," cried they, "tell us your sins." The old man raised himself and told them how he, by one single word, had so sinned that God was angry with him, and how he was now expiating this crime. The robbers were so powerfully touched in their hearts by this story.
That's a very quick bout turn.
That they were shocked with their life up to this time, reflected, and began with hearty repentance to do penance for it. The hermit, after he had converted the three sinners, lay down to sleep again under the stairs. In the morning, however, they found him dead, and out of the dry wood on which his head lay, three green twigs had grown up on high. Thus the Lord had once more received him into his favour. The end. Piety and suffering. I told you.
Oh my goodness.
You're right, Adam. You okay?
Oh boy.
I think we've all learnt a valuable lesson here.
What were the two things I'm supposed to keep track of? Pious men, pious people.
No. How many God-fearing people end up dead?
Right.
So how many?
One.
That's one. And how many people are starving?
One.
So we've got two there. So
wow, two for one there.
I'll make a note, shall I?
Please, okay. Thanks. My brain can't handle this.
Okay, great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a dark ending, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically he condemns a sinner, but yeah. a little bird tells us only God can pass judgment.
Yeah.
Your penance is that you're going to have to go around the world begging for your food and carry this green hazel twig. And then he converts these three godless men, and for that he's expiated his crime and dies and goes to heaven.
And I guess a reasonable assumption could be that each green shoot on the branch was for one repenting sinner.
Very good, Adam. This is why I need you here. Yeah, you're right. And the dead branch is him, and these shoots have come out of him.
Did you reach the end of the story? That is one dead branch, that man is.
The only thing I noticed in there that immediately jumped out to me is that whole motif of him sleeping at the robber's house.
Right.
Even when he shouldn't. Because that's happened in one of the Grimm's other stories, in one of the fairy tales. The devil with the three golden hairs, he has carrying a letter to the king, and he stays in some robber's house, the luck child, and he melts the heart of the hard-hearted robbers.
Yeah.
And you could not get over that at the time.
No.
I feel like it's happened again here.
It's happened again.
Yeah.
It just happened so easily.
Yeah.
One detail I actually enjoyed was the fact that the story said he found a cave that someone had made.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure of a cave that a person has made. But okay. Wow. It's so heavy on the piety, isn't it?
Yeah. Honestly. Just you wait, Adam. Just you wait.
So I guess this one, the thrust of the story there is the idea of like, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. It's like, don't, it's not your place to judge other people because everyone's bad.
Yeah.
That's he pays the price. Wow. Okay. The three, what was that? The three green twigs.
Three green twigs. Okay. I've hit you over the head with that one.
Yeah.
That's just your baptism of fire, if I may.
Oh,
so we'll plow on through. But first, if you remember, the other two children's legends we've read, we both gave a mark out of 5. One to 5 Grimms for each children's legend. How many Grimms are you given the three green twigs?
Are we doing halves?
Yeah.
2.5.
2.5 Grimms from Adam. Not a fan there. That's your lowest Grimms you've dished up far.
This is painful. Go on, how many Grimms from you?
Well, it's funny. I when I started this one, just reading it just now, I thought, oh, this is one of the good ones. But it has not impressed you, so I'm worried now. I love melting the hearts of the robbers, so I'm going to give it 3.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For a total of 6 out of 10? Yeah.
Yeah, for a total of 6 Grimms out of 10 Grimms. Yeah, okay, not a bad start then.
But I'd say score-wise, it's not bad. It's not amazing. But it's not bad.
Score-wise, not story-wise. Okay. I mean, it should tally, but you know, can't have it all. Okay.
No, you can't.
Time for you to pick your next children's legend, Adam.
Matt, can I have a big old plate of God's food? If you please.
I'm absolutely starving, so let's tuck in.
God's food!
There were once upon a time two sisters, one of whom had no children and was rich. The other had 5 and was a widow, and was so poor that she no longer had food enough to satisfy herself and her children.
This is sad.
In her need, therefore, she went to her sister and said, "My children and I are suffering the greatest hunger. You are rich. Give me a mouthful of bread." The very rich sister was as hard as a stone,
oh dear,
and said, "I myself have nothing in the house," and drove away the poor creature with harsh words. After some time, the husband of the rich sister came home and was just going to cut himself a piece of bread. But when he made the first cut into the loaf, out flowed red blood.
Ooh.
When the woman saw that, she was terrified and told him what had occurred. He hurried away to help the widow and her children. So that's the sister. He's gone now to help the starving sister. But when he entered her room, he found her praying. She had her 2 youngest children in her arms, and the 3 eldest were lying dead.
Whoa.
He offered her food, but she answered, "For earthly food we no longer have any desire. God has already satisfied the hunger of 3 of us, and he will hearken to our supplications likewise." Scarcely had she uttered these words than the 2 little ones drew their last breath, whereupon her heart broke and she sank down dead. The end.
Oh. Why?
I apologize for laughing.
What? No.
You know, I think maybe I should have given the green twigs a 4.
No.
Right, time for your second job, Adam. How many God-fearing people ended up dead?
Okay, it's a fun game.
Let's count it. Let's tally them up.
Well, we don't know much about the children, but we assume it's a God-fearing family.
Yeah, they're all God-fearing.
Okay.
Well, they were.
So that's, to my count, 5 children, 1 mother. That's 6 God-fearing people dead.
6 God-fearing people dead. And how many people are starving to death?
That's another 6,
I think.
That's
another 6 for you right there. There we go. So that's really up the count there.
It really has.
What do you think of God's food?
Oh, I don't know. It's bleak.
It's sort of like the, is it the sacrament, right? Where you'd like Jesus' blood in the wine. Like, God's food here is that bread. Well,
the bread and the wine, yeah.
I don't think there's wine in this.
Yeah, but that's the tradition.
That's the tradition. But in this, they cut into the loaf of bread and blood comes out and they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then I suppose actually God's food is their piety and their belief. God's sustained us. He's hearkened to our supplications.
Yeah.
So that's the real food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not literal food. I'm still a bit unclear on, she's praying, she's gone back home and she's praying for food, and it's God's judgment that's caused the blood to come out of the bread. Unless she's gone home and she's going, "Make the blood come out of their bread. Make the blood come out of their bread."
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's an ambiguity.
That's true. I mean, maybe she's like a kind of weird King Midas. Every food she touches, blood comes out of.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's why she's like, we don't have any desire for food anymore. I don't know.
It's a bleak one.
It's a real bleak one.
I mean, it's nothing but bleak.
Yeah. Pure bleak.
It's pure.
From start to bleak. Finish.
Pure bleak.
Would you say these are maybe bleaker than the fairy tales?
I think so, because there's not enough whimsy to carry it along.
Yeah, and there's certainly no happy ending.
No.
I mean, the happy ending is, well done, you've been good and pious.
Yeah.
But you're dead.
But yeah. Everyone dies.
But that's a good thing so far.
Yeah.
That is meant to be a happy ending, I guess.
They die in the right way.
Whoa.
I think is the gist of what these stories are saying.
But the children's legends are saying. Specifically aimed at children.
I am surprised because in my head I thought these were more... The gist of these were more sort of moral instructions to kids. You know, like, this is what you get when you steal sort of thing. This isn't... Like, this is just... What is this? There's no lesson here.
I mean, I may have misled you when I think I put that idea in your head. And I think they are, in a way. They're meant to be instructional, but in a religious sense.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure what a kid's going to get out of this, other than why are you telling me this?
Well, maybe we'll find a happier moral in the next one. But first, we need your score, Adam. Hmm. How many Grimms are you giving God's Food? What a weird sentence.
1.5, please.
1.5 Grimms. What is happening?
I don't know. What about you?
I'm feeling a little more generous. I might go for two Grimms there.
No, that's a very little bit more generous.
I think, I don't know, there's something so ridiculously bleak about it. I quite enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
It's not sugarcoating it for us, is
certainly
it?
Not.
All these people are dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were starving to death. And the family didn't help out their family in need.
No.
It's just going guns blazing there.
No, that's true. It's like everything turned up to 11, isn't it, with that one?
So it gets 2 from me. For a total of 3.5 Grimms.
Out of 10. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
Let's see if we can up the ante. Mm. Adam, what's your next one?
Whoa.
They're looking less appealing now, aren't they?
Oh, I'm really intrigued by the aged mother.
Okay. I wonder what's going to happen to her.
The aged mother.
In a large town, there was an old woman who sat in the evening alone in her room, thinking how she had lost her first husband. Then both her children, and then one by one, all her relatives. I'm not looking at Adam, I can't.
No!
And at length, that very day, her last friend. And now she was quite alone and desolate. That's an opening to a story.
Once upon a time, there was an old woman who was sat there thinking about everyone who she'd ever loved had died.
Hope everyone's having a lovely Sunday out there. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay.
She was very sad at heart, and heaviest of all her losses was that of her sons, and in her pain she blamed God for it. She was still sitting lost in thought, when all at once she heard the bells ringing for early prayer. She was surprised that she had thus in her sorrow watched through the whole night, and lighted her lantern and went to church. It was already lighted up when she arrived, but not as it usually was with wax candles, but with a dim light. It was also crowded with people already, and all the seats were filled. And when the old woman got to her usual place, it was also not empty, but the whole bench was entirely full.
Oh, dear.
So she's been up all night in her trauma, and then the bells are ringing early for prayer. So she's gone to church, and it's got a weird light, and every seat's full.
Yeah. Even her usual spot. Yeah. This is where I thought you were going to say, and in her usual spot was her. And she's looking at her and she's like, whoa.
What a twist.
That is a twist.
I'm giving this 5 Grimms.
It's amazing.
Well, let's see who these people are, Adam. When she looked at the people, they were none other than her dead relatives.
Whoa.
Who were sitting there in their old-fashioned garments, but with pale faces. They neither spoke nor sang, but a soft humming and whispering was heard all over the church. Then an aunt of hers stood up, stepped forward, and said to the poor old woman, "Look there beside the altar, and you will see your sons." The old woman looked there and saw her two children, one hanging on the gallows, the other bound to the wheel.
What?
Then said the aunt, "Behold, so would it have been with them if they had lived, and if the good God had not taken them to himself when they were innocent children." The old woman went trembling home, and on her knees thanked God for having dealt with her more kindly than she'd been able to understand. And on the third day, she lay down dead. The end.
Why are you doing this?
Don't blame me. Blame the Brothers Grimm's views on childhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, you've got a job to do, Adam.
Okay.
How many God-fearing people end up dead? I suppose this is a technicality in this one.
This is really difficult because the main the protagonist, the aged woman, mother,
yeah,
she's one.
Yeah.
Do we know about relatives?
Well, the thing is, she's the only one in the story. When this story starts, everyone else is dead already.
Yeah, that's true. We can't count past events, can we?
Can we not? Okay, no, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think we've got to set that rule, otherwise the number's just going to go out of control. So that's a one for this story.
And how many people are starving?
Nobody, I think.
Nobody's starving in this.
Yay! Yay!
So on paper, technically, this is the happiest story so far.
It is an absolute riot, isn't it?
But it starts with a woman listing everyone she knows who's died.
Oh, dear. And then she ends up in the church.
I like that. It's quite haunting, isn't
it? Yeah, it's
spooky.
Very, very much. And they're all there and they're all pale. So you think, my first thought was, okay, she's dying, like...
Yeah.
She's meeting all her dead relatives. But this was a sort of instructional lesson. The lesson being, be grateful your sons died young, because if they got older, they would have done bad things and been... Well, one was in the gallows. The other one was strapped to a wheel or something?
I think like a kind of torture wheel.
Okay.
Is my impression.
Right. I was thinking like the wheel of a wagon, and then you see as the wagon goes past, like...
Maybe one of your sons would have done very well and had a lot of fun. The other,
no, we can't have that.
Was hanged. Yeah. So basically, if your children hadn't died, they'd have grown up, been bad, and then been like tortured and murdered. So you should be grateful.
And then she goes home and she's grateful, and then she dies.
And then she just laid down and died. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Everyone in these stories dies very quickly. There's no decline, is there? It's just, I'd go home and then I'd die.
Oh, no. They just...
oh, no. I'm dying.
They just fall down. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, no. I've learned my lesson. I'm dead.
Oh. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, not much more to say on that. I quite like it, though. I think it's... I was there, you know?
Same.
I was waiting for every... sentence.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat. I was in that haunted, creepy church.
Same.
How many Grimms are you going to give that out of five?
I'm going to give that 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Grimms. Please.
So that's your highest Grimm of the night.
Yep. Highest Grimm of the night.
What?
Don't know. Like exactly what you said. The imagery is quite arresting.
Mm-hmm. The lesson? Have we learned any good lessons tonight?
Well,
maybe we'll wait and see, because we've got one more.
We'll see.
I'll ask you that at the end.
I'm not really sure. I'm not in a good place.
I'm gonna give it 3.5.
Yeah. Okay.
3.5. So that's a total of 6.5 Grimms for the aged mother.
It's not too bad.
Are we ready for our final one?
I think so.
Adam, you've had one long one and two shorties. Pick wisely. So we've got the remaining stories are The 12 Apostles, The Rose, Poverty and Humility Lead to Heaven. I think I can guess how. The Heavenly Wedding and The Hazel Branch.
Oh, man. The Rose.
The Rose.
The Rose.
There was once a poor woman who had 2 children. The youngest had to go every day into the forest to fetch wood. Once, when she had gone a long way to seek it, a little child, who was quite strong, came and helped her industriously to pick up the wood and carry it home. And then, before a moment had passed, the strange child disappeared. The child told her mother this, but at first she did not believe it. At length, she brought a rose home and told her mother that the beautiful child had given her this rose, and had told her that when it was in full bloom, he would return.
Oh.
The mother put the rose in water. One morning, her child could not get out of bed. The mother went to the bed and found her dead.
That'll be why she couldn't get out.
But she lay looking very happy. On the same morning, the rose was in full bloom. The end.
end. It was just good.
I told you to choose wisely, Adam.
Oh, did I choose non-wisely?
Left you on a cliffhanger.
Oh, boy.
Except that is the end of the story. So do you follow? Did you follow that? Do you want to... what did you understand happened?
So there's two... There's mum with two kids. We don't know about the other kid.
Yeah.
We're just focused on the one kid who has to go in the forest every day to fetch wood. One day, a mysterious strong child come and helps her home with the wood. She tells her mum. Mum doesn't believe her. She brings home a rose from the strong child. And apparently... When that is in full bloom, this child will come back.
That's what the child told the other child. Yeah. That's what the strong child
told this child.
The mum, my goodness.
And then the mum's like, oh, okay, puts it in water, and then she goes to find her daughter, and she's dead in the bed, and then the rose is in full bloom. So presumably the strong child is about to come back.
The strong child. I mean, I wondered if... Because it says there's a poor woman who had two children... Are they the two children? Is the strong child her other child? Maybe it means like her first child had died and it's the strong child.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, what on earth does that mean?
What? Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What are we meant to take from that?
Well, she said she looked happy. So she died happy.
I mean, they've all died happy, Adam. Everyone so far has died happy.
Well, that's something at least.
But what does that mean? So she dies... And then on that same morning, the rose was in full bloom.
So it's like the strong child was a heavenly being who took her to heaven that morning. That's why she looks happy.
Is that it? Yeah, I mean... Oh, so it's not saying the rose will bloom and the child will return. So it's not like now the strong child's going to move in. It's saying...
It's like... comes in with a little suitcase. I hear there's a bed going.
Need me to fetch any wood? I'm very strong. For a child. But no, you're saying that because the rose bloomed, she died?
Yeah,
It's like, I'll be dead the day the rose blooms.
I'm thinking... Blossoms. I mean, maybe I've got this slightly wrong, but I'm thinking the mum's like in bed... The rose blooms, and that is this angelic being taking her off to the afterlife.
Whoa.
She wakes up, sees the rose, goes, oh, I'll go tell her, and then she's dead. Do you see what I mean?
But what's that got to do with the child returning? Because the child's like a kind of...
That's what I'm thinking. The child is taking her to the afterlife. That's when it returns.
And maybe that's why actually at the start it says there's a woman who had two children. So don't worry, she's got another child. Don't be too depressed by this story.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's actually what this means.
Yeah, okay.
Spell. So Adam, you got your other job to do, mate. How many God-fearing people end up dead?
I think one.
Yeah, we'll assume she's God-fearing.
and as far as I'm aware, nobody's starving. So that's nice.
Nobody's starving.
Look at that.
There we go. That counts come right down from God's food. And it's the most impenetrable one. It's the most unclear what it's trying to tell us.
Yeah.
One. And that's the thing. I don't know what these stories are. It says the children's legends. Maybe these are, I don't know, stories children tell each other. So the Grimms are collecting them. Maybe they are legends. So these are kind of stories connected to places, although we don't ever hear of a place.
Mm.
And they've kind of, the Grimms are targeting them at children within the collection. We just don't know. So, how many Grimms for the rose?
I don't even know what's going on in the rose.
Mm.
I've broken. I don't know what to give it. Two and a half? Yeah.
Why two and a half?
Because I just can't think of another number. I don't know.
So, like half? Like
it's like halfway because I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know if it's good or bad because I don't understand it.
Oh, I think you're going to need a lie down after this, aren't you?
So.
I'm sorry for subjecting you to this. Well, I'm sorry for subjecting me to this one as well.
What do you think?
I'm going to give it a one. I don't like it.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's not really a story.
No.
I like the strong child.
Yeah.
Or strange child, as they're described here. But it's just completely impenetrable and nothing particularly exciting or interesting happens. It's not a good one.
It's a magical rose?
It's my least favourite out of all the ones we've done so far.
Oh boy, I've probably scored it all wrong. My brain's just broken.
That's a 3.5 for the rose. I guess we can, when we do the remaining ones, we can tot up which was the best one.
But, I guess it's got to be a winner.
Yeah. Our favourite one from tonight was The Aged Mother. and our least favourite is a tie between The Rose and God's Food. See, I definitely prefer God's Food. Yeah. But, I mean, what do you make of the children's legends so far, then?
Really dark.
Yeah.
Really pious.
Yeah.
And kind of impenetrable.
Yeah.
Which is they're the main three things you need from a story.
I mean, I'd refer you back to the start of the episode where I said they're just a strange tapestry of piety and suffering.
Yeah.
So we've made no more headway than that. That's all we can take from
them. That's the insight we've got.
If anybody out there knows anything about children's legends, particularly German listeners, maybe there's more material and research on these, explanation in Germany. Maybe you know what they are. Maybe they're more famous there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they are because I genuinely couldn't find anything. And I vaguely looked at German internet, but got nothing. But yeah, I mean, just very odd collection of unpleasant stories.
It is. And you do think, if you tack that on the end of a collection of great fairy tales, it's the fairy tales that are going to catch on, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's not these. So it's not surprising that these don't seem to have much of a presence online.
But as I say, the Grimms first put these in 1819 and kept them there for every subsequent edition. Right up to, I think, was it 1840s or 50s was their last edition they published. So they kept them. They saw value in them.
They believed in them. Why, guys?
If only we could ask them, Adam.
Do you know what? Yeah, if someone ever asks again, like, oh, if you could meet the Brothers Grimm, what would you ask them? I'd be like, what's going on with these, please?
Children's legends.
What's
that? Let's have a chat. Well, the final thing to do is to tally up how many God-fearing people died and how many people were starving to death.
Yay!
Woo!
Fun times.
Tonight, we've had 9 God-fearing people die.
Nice.
And only 7 people starving to death. So.
Wow. Okay. I guess it's good that more people died than there are people starving. Is that a good takeaway? I don't know.
Ever the optimist, Adam. Ever the optimist.
Probably look for a silver lining.
That's great. And that's something we can all take home with us.
Yep.
And, you know, all I say is roll on, Grimbledon. Let's please move on to the semi-finals, which will be coming up shortly. Apologies for traumatizing everyone with these, but it's good to get them all sort of done and dusted.
Yeah.
We've only got one more bundle of children's legends to go. 4 more. We'll see if we can make it even bleaker or if it's all sort of good fun from here on out.
You know, we don't know.
Well, we've got the remaining stories for next time are The 12 Apostles, Poverty and Humility Lead to Heaven, The Heavenly Wedding, and The Hazel Branch.
Wow.
So, I've subjected everyone to that because we're just buying a little time before we can move on with Grimbledon as the votes come in. Next episode is going to be the group stage results episode. And it's the episode I've been looking forward to for a long time, Adam.
Oh, me too.
If that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's like, yeah, this big tournament and in the middle, something really weird and dark happens and then we're back to the fun tournament.
Who's planning this?
I'm really looking forward to that. So literally on the day this episode comes out, that's the day that the final group stage poll closes and we can finally know the results and we can arrange to record the results episode. Really looking forward to that.
Maybe we'll leave that poll open for an extra day, just so anyone who's listening to this has a chance to vote. If you haven't voted already,
that's a good idea.
We'll leave it open till end of the day after this comes out, so you've got a chance to vote. But yeah, we'll be revealing the results. And let me tell you, there's some shockers in there, Adam.
Oh.
It's been quite something watching the votes coming in.
I don't know how prepared I am for like what I feel like might be a sort of a brutal massacre of a group stage.
Oh no, it's you know, dark again.
Heroes being
slain.
Slain, exactly, yeah.
Well, I will see you again at Castle Grimm in happier times. We'll have a lot more fun, Adam. I'm really sorry. I don't want to come round here and subject you to traumatic stories.
No, it's given me a lot to think about.
Yeah, what have we learned? What have you learned tonight? Is there anything of value to take from this? So what have you learned? You've learned that don't cast your stones about.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't turn away your starving sibling and their children.
Don't do that.
But if you are the starving sibling with children, don't worry about it, because your piety will buy you a ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
And beware strong children.
Yeah, exactly.
Valuable lessons.
There you go. Take those lessons away from you. You are welcome, everyone.
Have a wonderful Sunday and or whatever day of the week it is you're listening to this. I'm really sorry, everyone, again. Just like to apologize. And we'll see you next time for the Group Stage Results episode. Adam.
See you then.
Sleep tight. I'm going to head on my steed. Are you going to be all right at Castle Grim on your own tonight?
Maybe you need to stay here then. I mean, this is scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. It's quite dark and cold out there. I might just pop myself down here by the fire here, if that's all right.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I really appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Okay.
And, you know, please, keep it grim. I'll see you soon.
Keep it grim, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/grimreading to find out how, and also see the range of benefits available as a thank you from us. You can, of course, email us at grimreadingpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @grimreadingpod, and we're also on Instagram and Facebook @grimreading. You can find us on Podbean, podbean.com/grimreading, and we also have a website, grimreading.wordpress.com. Keep it grim.